One, two, three, four.
See?
Oh.
Alright.
But. One, two, three, four. Sin and gin. Sin and gin. Talk about things that other people put in the bin.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello, everyone. This is Victor Garsley,
the Crowboy.
And Montague Jacques Fromage.
And we are here for our second episode.
Epicenter.
Episnode.
Yes.
Placenta.
Our second placenta.
Episnode.
Of Sin and Gin.
As you heard from the intro.
Yes.
As you heard from the intro.
Yes.
We are in gorgeous Manchester, Connecticut.
Yes.
Not Manchester, North of England.
And not Manchester, New Jersey.
No. And it is bloody freezing. We've seen mounds of snow.
We've seen a snow mound.
We've seen not snowman.
This is mounds of snow.
Mounds of snow.
Mounds of snow. Yep.
Which, if you put on
your head, you'll be cold.
Yes.
A whole mound.
A whole mound of snow.
Or you can tunnel through it, or you can bury small children. I'm sorry.
Why would you do that?
That turns.
If they're irksome.
Irksome.
That turned very sinister, didn't it?
Oh, God.
Yeah, so we're here playing a gig.
We're here playing a gig. We're playing at Stupid Cupid tomorrow, which we're very excited. It starts at 3, isn't it? Cheney Hall. So we're very excited for that. Obviously, by the time this podcast comes out, we would have played the gig and done it.
Yeah, since we're still waiting for the first one to come out at time of shipping, we're still waiting for the first one to finish.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. For some reason, I don't know why it hasn't gone on Spotify and iTunes and all that yet, but it will eventually go. Wait. If this is being released after, should we make out like that we've just played the gig?
No.
All right.
That can be the next podcast.
Hey, guys, great gig.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, we're here. Those of you, the more astute of you, may notice one less voice this time.
Yeah, the fabulous and wonderful Nancy is not here, and she has been replaced with Monty for this podcast.
Who is far more feminine and much more beautiful.
But the halo doesn't fit.
But less beard than Halo.
Only a bit.
Only a bit, yeah. She's pretty hairy.
She's.
I'm not touching that one. I'm not going near that. Mm-mm. Nope. Not unless you're going to flatter.
We love you, really.
Yes.
Halo. 6 out of 10.
Flatter legs.
Solid 6.
How lovely.
So we're in this wonderful little motel. It's a motel.
It is a motel, definitely a motel. You drive up to the door.
The thing is, despite being aged, it has got a.
Charm?
It's got a charm to it, but it is clean.
Yes.
And we both got double beds, and which most UK places don't have, they got a fridge and a microwave.
And an ice machine.
And an ice machine. Still... Not in the room, though.
Yeah. So today's podcast is going to... We've got a few segments coming up. So we've got a bit of a catch-up about why we're here, what we're doing, what's going on. We're going to be talking to Monty, as you heard.
Hello.
Beautiful dulcet tones.
Again.
We're going to be talking to some people at the gig, which we've yet to record, so Lord knows how that's going to come out.
We're going to talk to Frenchie and Punk.
Frenchie and the Punk? Pinky and the Brain?
Yeah. And we've got our wonderful facts as well.
Oh, our wonderful facts.
Yes.
Yes.
That's our intro.
Yeah, so...
Intro complete.
Intro complete. Well done.
Goodbye. Well done. Yay! 1, 2, 3, 4. Monty.
I told you.
Monty.
So as you know, Matt, we're in the United States. We're in the big juice.
We're in the big... Actually, what did you say? When we came out of the airport, you went, "Here we are, we're in the big juice." I went, "You mean the Big Apple?" He's like,
The big juice.
The big juice.
Yeah.
He actually thought that. To which we changed it to the big cream.
The big cream. We're in the big cream. And our brothers from across the pond, our brothers and sisters, they've got some differences, haven't they?
They have got some differences. Well, I think the biggest thing that we noticed was the driving.
Oh,
I mean, so what happened was
we did drive through the middle of New York.
We kind of missed the turn in to start heading to Connecticut, and we had to go through like central New York basically. And the biggest thing was the driving. They are lunatics.
For those of you that know, the area came in through the Holland Tunnel past the Statue of Liberty, which was a photo op, and came in through the Holland Tunnel and then went up the west side on West Side Highway to 95 to come north to Connecticut.
It was scary.
For those of you who don't live in America, that ignore that. it's like the M25 near Dartford Bridge.
Yes, well, yes, well, actually.
But for miles.
The thing I found, like, we were 5 minute drive away from the Ghostbusters house. I could hear it.
You hear the ghosts?
I could hear the ghosts. I
could hear the ghouls.
hear the spookums.
So. I offered to drive around the block so you could go pay homage.
Yeah, but I would have been there for hours.
That's, oh yeah. Well, yes.
Just crying.
Mm. They also, nobody understands when you say cheers instead of thank you.
Oh yeah, we noticed that.
Yeah. Cheers what?
Cheers. And we're still getting used to like the tip in as well, like you've got a tip with everything. What else? Oh, and the drinks. Well, the pints, when you order a pint of beer, it's smaller. I don't like that.
I think that says more about our drink culture in the UK than anything else.
Yeah, but then when you buy like a can of like energy drink, it's like a bloody...
Yeah, fucking hell.
I mean, it makes you look like a gnome.
I am a gnome.
Oh. Here we are. Podcast exclusive. Crowboy is part gnome.
Part gnome.
Ah, oh, new merch idea.
Gnomes.
Gnomes.
Crow gnomes.
Chromes.
Chromes, yes.
So for those who don't know you, which is, I imagine, very few in this community, what's your deal?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who, me?
Where'd you come from? Where'd you go?
Montague Jacques Fromage. Yeah, I've been around for, God knows, 1,000 years.
1,000 years?
Yes.
So, Monty, how did you get into steampunk?
I actually started... God, the late aughts, about 08 or 09, I was working as a vendor.
In a cocktail
and,
bar.
And had a pitch, had a booth, pick a country for the wording, and it just sort of was a natural evolution, and I had the opportunity to perform, and I did, and it worked, and it just sort of kept on going.
So how did you get into your style of music?
Victorian funk rap. Yeah. I kind of wanted...
Sorry, Victorian funk rap.
I
Big flap.
big flap. Big
I flap. Like you. You're silly.
I want that catchphrase as my messenger. Whenever I get a text.
I like you. You're silly.
Yeah.
So how did you get into Vic Flap?
I...
Because you've got...
I may have dulcimer tones, okay, but I could not carry a tune in a shovel, okay, and
which is where we carry ours.
And yes. Well, I thought, you know, the only keys I know are the ones to get in the front door, you know, it's very confusing. So I thought, well, rap works, okay? Just give them a good tempo and good back music and everything else. Mm-hmm. And I had an absolutely amazing person for my first album that worked with me. And it was fun, it was interesting. And I also thought, keep in mind, this is back in the dark ages of steampunk, okay, that if I were able to educate people and have fun with it, and it just sort of took off from there.
So where, I mean, you've done a lot of shows.
Oh, good.
All over the place.
Mm-hmm.
What's the furthest you've been to?
New Zealand, I guess, would be the farthest I've been. With the extra Z's. Oh. Yeah.
Full of bees.
Because, right.
Full of sheets.
And, no, but I've done New Zealand, Australia. I've been all over Europe, the UK, the US,
you're just a crane boy flying over the place.
I'm sort of like shite in a field. I've been everywhere, you know. And it's been enjoyable. It's been an absolute blast. I have totally enjoyed it, and I hope people have enjoyed me.
They still are enjoying you.
Yes.
You're not dead.
Like, you've got shows lined up this year.
Yeah.
You know, this is always the funny thing that I find with you and I is that, you know, last year we played in Raising Steam near Birmingham, and then the following week you and I were in New Jersey together, and we're just like, it just seems so weird to one minute be in the UK hanging out with you, and then the next time we're in the US hanging out with you.
Well, that, and then back again, and that's supposed to happen again this year, but I don't know if it will, but at this particular point, let's see where it's going.
So those of you who don't know how sort of the Victor and the Bully, Monty, like how we all met is, it was originally at A Splendid Day Out. A Splendid Day Out was the second, no, A Splendid Day Out was the first steampunk event we'd ever played. So originally back in around 2015, trying to do the whole cabaret scene, but we didn't really know there was a steampunk scene. Then started chatting. We got the invite to A Splendid Day Out, and we went there, and that's where we met, and we just hit it off, and we did this show, didn't we? We wasn't originally meant to play the evening show.
Right.
And then we came on, we tore the roof off.
And this squeaky clean person, okay, it's been... I hate to sound like the old fart in the group, but, okay, watching your evolution over the last 5 years has been absolutely amazing. Okay. Oh. It,
thank you, buddy.
It's difficult to explain, but there's just something in the past when I've seen a performer or something, you get a gut feeling, you know what I mean? And you clicked, and you've worked, and it's shown, showing, and I'm sure will continue to show.
Well, I think, you know, we've always got, I'd say we've got another two US shows lined up this year.
Yeah.
So it's more of, you know, more chicken wings and alcohol and debauchery that we're going to have together.
The debauchery is the fun part. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all getting a bit emotional now, isn't it?
Yes.
It is getting emotional. You know, like, it's been absolutely amazing to be given the chance, or not a chance, I wouldn't even say that, for our fates to cross.
Yep.
And spend this time together.
I am a big believer in...
Big titties.
Fate. Well, that's besides the point. as long as they don't have hair on them.
Picky.
I'm sure once you get involved.
At my age, trust me, anything is viable. You know, I no stone is left. Well, that's another thing about getting stoned. But you just sort of like, what's the words I'm looking for?
Pull them out of your word sack.
Yes. Yeah.
Word sack.
As I reach down into my word sack. Goodness.
Yeah, rummage deep in your word sack.
Yes, maybe. And come up with a prosthetic dictionary. Anyhow, I didn't say that, no.
But it's good that our fates have crossed, and we're here, we're doing our thing, and we are very privileged to have you.
I'm a big believer in fate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that if something is going to happen, it will. Good. And we did, and it did, and that's all cool.
Nice.
And everyone's creamy.
Everyone's so creamy.
So do you want to talk briefly about... We talked about the fact we're here, we're playing a gig. What is the gig?
Yeah, so the gig is called Stupid Cupid.
Which I have to jump in and say is in its fifth year, okay? And that is amazing. I have been around long enough to see some very, very good and strong... cons, we call them conventions over here. The come and go. I mean, there were some that, you know, everybody is singing praises to, and they are now very faint check marks in history. And Stupid Cupid is now in year 5 and shows absolutely no indications of slowing down. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
This is my first year.
Yeah, it's your first time in... US that hasn't been a holiday.
I was going to say, it's not my first time in the US. First time in this far north of the US.
I know. I've got to say, mate, I'm
well,
so happy
when you
to
were
have
here
you
before,
here.
You
I'm
were
happy
in,
to be here. Good.
When you were here before, you were in Florida. That's not the United States.
It looks like the penis.
Yeah, Joe had
edge.
Only ever been to like Orlando and doing the whole Disney and stuff. Yeah. So Joe's been here. We have Joe in a motel. You know, we had a bit more.
We had a good flight, didn't we?
Oh, the flight. Yeah.
So we went on BA. Other airlines are available.
BA, if you want to sponsor us.
If you want to sponsor us, that's fine. For free flights, thank you. I'm lactose intolerant, which is the bane of my life, but I've always been that way. I do it for a fad because I actually love everything that has lactose in.
He loves all creamy things.
It doesn't like me. And the toilet, consequently. I went, oh, I'm lactose intolerant. And they kind of freaked out and they went, oh, we don't really do that here. So she disappeared for ages, and we wondered what happened. She came back with a steak dinner from the first class area,
I was so jealous. Yeah, like, it was me and my like foil
chicken
like,
dinner,
chicken shit.
And I had a proper plate and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And a salad made of real leaves.
I was so jealous of your steak meal.
Yeah.
And he let me try a bit because I was a mere penny mortal. Like, please let me just try. Your
sniffing around at the edge of it, like, what you got?
What you got there?
Give me some of that.
Give me some of that steak. What's that
please,
on your
sir?
Back?
Please, sir.
And it was delicious.
I'm gonna do that again.
It was
next time we come up here.
So
I'm doing
yeah,
that again.
First class meals in economy prices.
Yeah, I'm an absolute. That's my life.
So BA, if you're listening to this, we'd like first class.
Yeah. Yes, please. And then it's been good and. While we're on the subject of gigs, do you want to talk about how... Obviously, if you listened to the first podcast, you would have heard we were in Wales. What did you think of that?
That was a great show. Nancy did absolutely fantastic.
Talking of
well.
Things in its fifth year, I think that's in its fifth year or sixth year now.
Yeah. I know I didn't... I played on the second year.
Yeah. So for those of you not in the know who didn't listen to the first podcast, we played in Wales, the North Wales... Burlesque and Cabaret Festival.
Yeah.
Which we play every year as a kind of curtain raiser to the year.
Yeah.
And God, there was some great burlesque, wasn't there?
Oh, absolutely incredible.
Absolutely fantastic. Someone came all the way from bloody Oslo.
Yeah. I liked the... I can't remember her name. The one who was from Thunderbirds.
Penelope? No. Did you watch Thunderbirds, Monty? Penelope Pitstop?
No, she's from... That's some wacky races.
Oh, yeah, God.
She came on as
Miss
the...
Moneypenny? No, that's James Bond.
You know the one I mean.
The one in the
pink
jacket.
The blonde one in the pink.
With Parker.
Yeah, with Parker. She came out. She was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah. We just had a bloody wholesome time, didn't we?
Yeah, it was good. This was also the first show like we did with Nancy, so it was great like getting to know Nancy more as well.
She bled for her art.
She did.
She came off the stage and bled all over the guitar.
She was strumming so hard, she bled. Yeah. We had a pair of knickers thrown on stage.
Yeah, we did. A unicorn.
Wore as an eye patch.
I wore an eye patch. I really hope they weren't worn.
we had a little rainbow llama. You were just playing football with llama. Yeah.
And then like, Nancy yeeted it into the crowd.
Yeet.
Was it
Sheldon? I've got to give a shout out to Sheldon's. Bar in Colwyn Bay because I went there on the Friday and my favourite cocktail is a pina colada. I said, can I have a pina colada? And they were like, oh, we don't really have the stuff for it, but we can do like a knockoff one. I was like, yeah, cool. They were like, are you going to be here tomorrow? I was like, yes, I am. So they were like, all right, we'll get the ingredients. When we went there after the gig, they had all the ingredients and they did me the most tackiest, most wonderful pina colada with all like the umbrella and the bit of pineapple, like it looked like it was from the 70s. It was wonderful.
So basically, the antithesis of that story is you asked for a pina colada and you got it a day late.
Yeah, but when it came, it was amazing. And the fact that the bar put the effort in to be like, he's coming in tomorrow, we've got to get pina colada stuff.
Fine. I mean, yeah. So that's...
It's a really good gig.
Consider yourselves bloody caught up.
And it was good to see Raven Noir... Scarlet Butterfly, Russell, yep. Calamity Twins, and just all the whole gang. This is always the first show of the year, isn't it?
It was my fun fact. It was my first ever Victor and the Bully show what I covered for Harry that time.
Yeah, four years ago. Yeah.
Despite knowing Matt forever, it was the first one I played because he couldn't make it, and look at us now.
I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that's it.
You've got facts for me.
Well, I've got facts for you.
Here comes Count Factula to drain you with his facts.
I am Count Factula. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that was Count Factula, so that could only mean one thing.
That's American Count Factula.
He's American cousin.
It could only mean one thing. Hey, guys. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey,
hey, come in closer.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm close.
Ooh.
I like how we're like doing this as if we're being recorded.
Yes.
Like, we're all like, as if we're having a video. Would you like some facts?
I would like some facts. Have you got facts for me?
I've got facts for you. Okay, my fact this week is ghost crabs use teeth in their stomach to growl at their enemies.
It would be one about fucking crabs.
Crustaceans.
The crustiest of versions.
They're so crusty. Yes, ghost crabs crowl.
Gross crabs crowl.
I had that 9.5% Belgian beer. 9-volt Belgian beer. Ghost crabs growl when threatened by grinding the teeth in their stomach against each other. While many crustaceans have teeth in their stomachs for grinding up food, the ghost crab is the first shown to use them to making sounds for communication as well.
It's truly horrific.
Mm. That is horrific.
That's scary.
I just like, number one, like, because, I mean, as you know, I love crabs.
Cribs.
And there are many awesome crabs. So you've got the ghost crab. My favourite crab is the Halloween crab. You've also got the vampire crab, which is completely purple. But I think the fact that there's a ghost crab is pretty cool as well. But if you could, if you couldn't talk using your voice, what orifice or way of talking would you like to talk?
What was that?
Something just fell.
Oh, it's a new shirt.
I bought a new shirt and a bit of plastic fell off out.
That was very exciting for a minute there, wasn't it? A tooth had fallen out or something.
Yes.
It's a talking.
It's a fang. Yes.
I mean, there's so many orifices.
There's so many orifices.
Crickets use their legs, don't they?
Yeah.
Crickets, yeah. I'd probably... What's effective? I mean, the sound of a butt cheeks flapping together.
Flapping, yes.
Butt cheeks?
Yes.
What type of sound would that make?
Well, just a hollow slap.
Just clapping.
Yeah. It's a hollow...
In case you was confused, that was Monty twerking.
Oh, God, he can't get up.
Monty!
Yes!
Stop twerking, yes. Please!
That loose, hollow sound.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know, that's me. What about you, Monty? What
orifice would you like to talk about?
I would be a mute.
Unsubscribe.
Yes.
A high-pitched whistle at your nose would be quite good.
Or how about, like, you know in cartoons when, like, you're angry and you get the whistling out your ears?
Yeah.
Or, like, when you've eaten something hot.
Like a whistly ear.
Whistly ear.
Oh, there goes all whistly ear, Matt.
There we go.
What?
So, yeah, that's my fact about crab. I mean, I was looking at a ghost crab. And guys, in case you're interested in crabs, they have the most... adorable eyes. Look at that. I've got a picture of one here that I'm showing Joe.
They're constantly surprised.
I think he's surprised that his stomach has got teeth in it.
I'd be pretty surprised.
Mm. Constantly surprised.
Isn't there a film about vagina with teeth in?
To be fair, I've put my dick in worse things.
Oh. Oh. No.
It has been long known that ghost crabs make sound to deter intruders by flexing their claws. Which makes ridges near the joint rub against each other. But when another animal gets too close, the crabs hold their claws upright in a position that prevents them making these sounds. Which is the perfect time to put a pen, use them as a pen holder.
I dated someone like that back in the 70s.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Well. Okay, so Joe Crowboy, what is your fact this week?
This one is about grave robbers.
Grey Rovers. Grobbers.
Grobbers. Or Rabes. Grave robbers were abundant. Were an abundant issue for hundreds of years. One of the solutions to the problem, invented in the 1800s, was coffin torpedoes. Which is not actually what you think it is.
Yeet.
Yeet.
just basically coffins flying over London.
They were basically like a kind of short-barreled shotgun mounted inside a coffin. That once you opened it, it was ignited. It was packed with black powder and percussive caps. Black powder and percussive caps. And once you raise the coffin lid, I've got your problem now. Put my teeth back
alcoholism.
In.
Alcoholism.
Yeah, put your teeth back in. The power of these weapons was immense and stealthy. And basically, you blow your head off. And the background to this is, there was a lot of scientific, in the 1800s, there was a lot of scientific advancement. And dead bodies were needed to kind of, the human anatomy was really being uncovered. So there's a lot of grave robbers to get that would sell the bodies to the scientists.
Grobbers.
And this was a real problem for people, you know, the deceased's relatives. So they set up these elaborate traps, and a lot of them were in Scotland, apparently.
Okay.
But unfortunately, on the night of January 17th, 1881, a would-be body snatcher by the name of Dipper.
He sounds like a body snatcher.
Was killed by a blast. The attempted grave robber was a 3-man operation. The explosion broke the leg of the second thief, killed the first, poor Dipper, and the third tasked with keeping watch was allegedly left unscathed and hoisted his wounded friend into a sleigh.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
that's very nice.
In Scotland, their solution from protecting the dead from grave robbers was put them inside a mort safe. It was a giant metal cage surrounding the coffin.
You know, I've seen it.
You can still see them today.
Yeah. Well, they have them in Whitby.
Yes.
Last year I took my dad to Whitby, who had an amazing time. And I, despite the many times I've been to Whitby, I'd never walken up to the Abbey.
Walking,
you know.
I've never walking up to the Abbey.
Yes.
I never did a walking.
Yeah.
So dad and I, we woke up, went for a delicious Wetherspoons breakfast.
Yep. The usual.
Wetherspoons, if you want to sponsor us. And, Dad and I, we thought, you know, let's go to Abbey because we've never done it. And we went out there, and the gravestones up there are absolutely incredible. But there was loads of them with cages around them, which is...
Yep.
The thing is, it was like 3 a.m. and we were trying to rob them.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's very interesting. I mean, the very American solution was to rig a shotgun inside the coffin, and the Scots just put a cage around it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my facts. Yeah.
Well, mine is just so terribly mundane compared to yours.
Well, no, hold on. It's still
interesting.
No, what were you just talking about?
We took a break there, and look, just for full disclosure, Marty.
Have another cocktail.
Matt farted deep into the mattress I'm sleeping tonight. Deep into it. And then
yes.
Monty just started telling a story about shooting flames out of his arsehole or something.
Was it out of your arsehole?
That was college back in the 60s. I mean, we did strange, bizarre things.
Not enough TVs to go around.
What you did was you ate rather gaseous food. I went to college originally in New Mexico. And you just sort of ate flatulatory foods, and then you sort of lit a Bic lighter by your buttocks and see who could shoot the farthest flame.
Was that your fact?
And no, that's not my fact at all. My fact is reflective of something that you had mentioned earlier about driving and roads and everything else. The U.S. has always been a country that the automobile has been the mainstay. In other words, you are born and raised to have your car, your parents' car, and perhaps even a third car for mom.
God bless Henry Ford.
Yes, and that was the whole thing. The country has been paved and intended. Back in immediately post-war... I don't remember it, but I was there.
Sure.
They, I'm talking the second world, not the civil. You know, it's you know, we had gotten rid of horses and carts. To make a long story longer, getting from East Coast to West Coast, there were several major highways, but they were sort of stop and go and went through the dead center of major cities, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Columbus. Okay, you sort of hopscotch through major cities and got into heavy-duty traffic jams.
So what's your fact?
My fact? I'm sorry.
Anyway, no, he's given us good history.
I was giving you the backstory, right. Okay? The fact is that Dwight D. Eisenhower, a president immediately post-war U.S., decided that in order to protect the country, he devised or had devised an interstate road system of limited access highways that were, for practical purposes, straight lines from point A to point B and circled major cities so that there would be no obstruction or difficulty. And the whole premise was for troop movement.
Where was this?
In the U.S., okay.
Just U.S. in general?
The U.S. in general, okay. from border to border, coast to coast.
It's why the Romans did it.
Yeah, that was the whole intention of the interstate highway. Okay, but right now anybody could lob a missile, you know what I mean, in the middle of anything from any direction, or if, you know, fly a drone in from Toronto or something.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, I suppose that, like, the Romans were the first to admit that a nice straight road gets your troops there quicker than rough terrain.
Yep.
Or taking the side roads as it would have been.
Exactly. Yeah. Total pain in the arse.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention the ox carts.
It just shows that America's built on that kind of a plateau of everything good was first designed for some kind of
way to hurt, by somebody else.
trying to hurt someone.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Well, that's Monty's fact.
Boring.
If you've got any facts,
send it at sinandginpodcast@gmail.com. If you want us to talk about one of your facts, we'll do a bit of research into it, and we can talk about it. So that's sinandginpodcast@gmail.com.
I would like to point out, we're not experts on anything. We just like facts.
Mm-hmm.
And so things we say may be spurious, conjecture, lies, straight up lies, or just wrong.
Or just us confused.
But we do try.
Yeah, we just want to, because we like facts, we want to tell other random facts to other people as well. So this is facts.
That's facts.
Facts and gin. And count
factula.
Count factula. Yeah. Ooh, look at that.
Okay, so we're currently writing some new music.
Muzak.
So we're trying to get our album on the way. We've currently got a song that's got some very Super Nintendo vibes going on.
It has got Super Nintendo vibes. Sorry, I was distracted by the light again.
There's a light in our room that looks like a boob. It genuinely looks like a boob.
I've killed Monty with that one. He's so disappointed in us.
So yeah, we're trying to write new songs. So this is the funniest thing, is that a lot of time when, like, you know, Joe and Nancy come over, you know, Joe will start, like, mucking about on his guitar whilst I'm, like, cooking dinner, and then we'll be like, oh, that sounds good, like, just literally just mucking about, and then we're like, oh, and then we record it on this really distracted me.
On my phone.
So he'll just record it on his phone, and then we'll come back to it. But yeah, we're trying to get this kind of third album out.
Yeah, yeah. No name yet, really.
No name. We've got ideas for names.
We've got one song done.
And I've got a few in the vault, but we need to go through them and decide if we actually like any of them or not.
But you'll be hearing lots more to come.
Yes, you will be hearing lots more. And there's also Patreon as well, if you want to join Patreon, Victor and the Bully.
Because we need money for beer.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Pretty much. So the rest of this podcast is going to be recorded at Stupid Cupid.
So there'll be various levels of quality
and sound
and drunkenness.
And drunkenness. We're going to be talking to random people, and we're also going to, if it's possible, we're going to try and do an interview with Frenchie and the Punk. So who we are also playing with at A Splendid Day Out.
Yes.
So until then, in 2 seconds' time, where we suddenly cut to Stupid Cupid.
Bye, love you.
Explain where we are.
Okay, so we're in a sandwich shop, so you can probably hear a lot of noise going on.
At night.
We're at a sandwich shop at night, obviously, and we are asking a few of our American friends here some Cockney rhyming slang to see if they can guess what Cockney rhyming slang is. So, Joe, where are you going to go with this?
Right, so this one is raspberry, to blow a raspberry.
To fail at something?
To blow a raspberry.
Okay.
PG or?
Oh, it's relatively PG.
So, farting?
Raspberry tart fart.
Right. All right.
Okay, we got, what about using your loaf? You're really using your loaf.
To think really hard?
You're on the right track. You got
have an idea?
No.
Using your head?
Yeah, loaf of bread, head. There you go. what about... Oh, excuse me.
He's a burpee boy.
I'm one burpee boy. I'm trying to find one. But on your Todd. You're on your Todd.
I have no context for this.
True. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Go on, take a guess. What do you think on your Todd means?
That you're on point or you're doing well?
No, it's... What if I told you it was Todd Sloan? You're on your Todd. You're on your Todd Sloan. You're alone.
That is weird.
Let's do one more.
I will actually
one more.
Say that
one more.
Welcome to Cockney Rhyming.
Right? Yeah.
You're having a bubble. You're having a bubble.
You're laughing.
Bubble
yes.
Bath.
Yes.
Nice. Well done. You scored a respectable 2 out of 10. What is it? 2 out of 5.
Yes. Okay, so this is the second part of the Cockney rhyming slang. What is it, Joe?
Right, so... oh, I had one. I've lost it. Oh, right. Brown bread.
Brown bread.
You're brown bread, mate.
What do you think that means?
Don't talk to me like that. You're brown bread.
You're well done. You're done.
Remember, it's rhyming slang.
Well done. I mean, you're getting close to the well done, yeah?
Don't forget, it has to rhyme. I've given you the whole thing.
Brown bread.
I'm getting a lot of blank faces.
Okay, so brown bread is dead.
Yep.
That's what it is. Any other? What's the next one, Joe?
Right. Shit. I had one. Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve.
Would you Adam and Eve it?
You've got a pet peeve.
Pet yeah. peeve? No.
Would you leave a tip?
No.
Believe?
Yes! Yeah. Believe. Would you Adam and Eve it? You got the answer right.
And then I had another one. Reading off this strange list. Oh, here we go. I'm absolutely creamed.
Is that like soap?
I've come home from work and I'm creamed.
Oh, tired.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's cream crackered, which is knackered.
And that's
which
how...
Which is very English in itself.
Yeah, cream cracker.
I'm cream crackered, I'm knackered. And
for those of you who don't
so
know...
So that's basically cream. Cockney rhyming slang in America. So... Okay, guys, we are here backstage. And I say we're backstage, we are in a kitchen.
It's got a nice old fridge.
And we are here with Frenchie and the Punk.
Bonjour.
Je suis fatigué.
Mais tu es toujours fatigué, toi.
So, we're here at Stupid Cupid. Things are going on around us. There's panels, there's group sex, all the things that normally happen at steampunk events. There's
Wait,
no group
were you
sex.
You at a different event to me.
Oh, shit. Fuck.
You went to the next room.
So, we are here. We're going to just have a little chat with them and see what's going on, see what their favourite sandwich is. Stuff like that.
Yeah, hey Punk, what's your favorite punk song?
Favorite punk song? Okay, there's many, but I think Razors of the Night by Blitz.
Oh, nice.
Better watch out.
for the razors in the night.
Or Filler by Minor Threat.
Minor Threat, very nice.
Nice. He's thrown
Pay to Come, Bad Brains.
Okay. Don't know that one.
Dead Cities, Exploited. Dead Cities!
And Frenchie, what's your favourite French thing?
Baguettes, wine.
Oh, we weren't even right there.
Oh, so cliche.
Are you even French?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
we have to say that Frenchie is wearing a beret right now as well.
That's right.
Maximum French.
When you've been away from France for as long as I have, you dream about the bread, the cheese, and the wine.
To be fair,
we're in the US.
We've got good access to it. We're in the southeast of England.
Exactly. Try getting a good baguette in England.
In America, yeah.
I don't even know where I am.
So
how you guys been? Where have you been lately? What's been happening recently? What's
We've been good. Recently we were in West Africa.
West Africa.
We played three shows in West Africa.
Now was
Ivory
that
Coast.
Now that wasn't steampunk, was it?
No.
Yeah,
although they have a corner on the whole apocalyptic thing.
Okay, they've gone from the more like apocalyptic.
Well, no, I mean it's not.
I mean they've got a lot of desert. So.
Well, it's just the motorcycles are totally in right now, so everyone's getting motorcycles.
Nice.
And they're not just like regular motorcycles. They look like they're from Mad Max.
They're from the
totally.
End of
they're
end of
like
times, yeah.
Parts and parts and top of parts.
Nice. Yeah,
and we actually saw four people riding on one motorcycle that was like half the size of a
That's
regular
so
motorcycle.
Cool.
It was intense.
Wasn't the gang in the first Mad Max South African?
Oh, I don't
maybe.
Know.
So
I could be imagining that. Yeah.
So what was the event? Why was you there?
Well, I have a family member who lives there, and she said, you know, why don't you come play in West Africa? And I thought, well, I don't know. I mean, we could try and see what happens.
Yeah.
You want to set us some shows and bring us there? I'm like, okay. And
yeah.
So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Nice. It was like totally luck of the draw.
So how did you find the audience?
Well, the audience is because it was actually a hotel kind of place, and so there were people there, you know, obviously from who were staying there, and they, you know, it was kind of not a long window of time for promotion, which was too bad because some people there were like, oh my god, we can get you on the TV, we can do this, we can do that, so next time. Well,
nice.
I don't know. You know.
Maybe that could be a.
That's really cool.
That could be a place to look into.
It was an amazing experience.
And that's such a new and different place to hear the other bands playing.
We don't often hear. We had my years of touring.
An opener doing called Cole Six, and they did like real traditional African drumming.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And their voices and the harmonies.
It was really
totally
nice.
Cool. Yeah. Really cool.
That's awesome.
Love that.
Yeah. That's such, and what was the weather like? Was it? I bet it was
hot.
Beautiful. Yeah. I can
We left New York. We left New York. It was what, 22? That's
cold.
That's cold.
For us, that's
yeah, I mean, Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
And there was like 80.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, more like 90 actually.
That is toasty.
Yeah. That is
toasty.
You were toasty,
toasty,
toasty people. Yeah. Can I just point out, I'm standing next to a sack of swords.
Oh,
wow.
That's what you get.
That's what you get.
Right.
That's what you get, stupid Cupid, standing next to sacks of swords.
Sacks of swords. Yeah. Right, so that's Africa. So what's going on this year? What we got going on?
We are going to go to your side of the pond.
Oh, no.
To the UK.
UK.
So
UK.
We need to go to a kitchen somewhere in the UK and then duplicate.
Oh, we can provide that.
That's right.
All right, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll find you a nice kitchen with a nice tea lady.
Baguette,
all right. Okay,
that's
spaghetti.
Cool.
Right, we got
it's a nice
tea. We're going to try and get you some baguette wine.
Frenchie's rider is baguette, cheese, and wine.
Yeah.
Actually, the one thing I have to always get when I go to England, because I did grow up in England, is a flake bar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no.
It gets everywhere. It gets all over your lap.
Oh, who cares?
One crumbly choco.
Yeah, it's real crumbly. Yeah.
We're a splendid day out together.
We're doing together on the Friday night. Yep.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be
awesome.
Yeah, that's gonna
awesome.
Be
everyone's going to be oiled up. What?
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 So much oil. So much oil.
Slippery boys.
So you've been to the UK before, though, haven't you?
Yes, we played the Asylum twice.
You played at the Asylum twice.
Yes, I think we did 2014 and 16.
What isn't it an amazing event?
It's amazing. Event. It's
just
great.
It's
I love
huge.
How it takes over the whole town,
The castle and
it's the setting is amazing.
And
we did something in 2011 too. We played something at the Orangery in Lincoln.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
With Tinker and Elsie too.
Yeah.
Legends. Was awful. Was all. We've also done Three Wishes Fairy Festival, which is a fairy festival in Tintagel or
Tor. No, that's Glastonbury. Oh, no, you're right, because we did some Glastonbury stuff too.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
In the southwest of England.
Yeah.
Did you see Stonehenge while you were there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Back when you could actually go up to it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We did an Edinburgh Fringe Fest.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
We did that Phoenix.
So how long have you guys been going together?
Like? 2005 we started.
Wow.
The band started in 2005 and we've been like collaborating on our project since 2000. Yeah.
And when you were at Fringe Fest, did you guys get recorded on camera?
I don't think so, no.
I've seen you guys on YouTube. Definitely, for sure. Whether it was an illicit recording.
Oh, you mean at... Oh!
No, I don't know if it was at the Fringe, but I've seen you on YouTube. I've seen you before I officially joined Victor and the Bully.
Oh, you mean in England?
Yeah, I watched you. No, I watched you on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited to see you tonight because it's your debut for
in the US.
In the US.
Crowboy's debut in the US.
Yeah, yes. I jump a lot. That's my thing.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jump around.
So it's a splendid day out. Now the location has changed. This year, and so
Is that the story?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So A Splendid Day Out was the first ever steampunk event that Victor and the Bully played at.
Wow.
Ever. Yeah, we played went with Harry. It was October 2015.
Cool.
And it was the first event that got the ball rolling for steampunk events.
Cool.
And now here we are. We're in
the bloody United
States. Yeah. I think it's the colonies. I think it's the seventh time as Victor and the Bully in the US. And
my first time, though.
It's cool.
I know, it is, Joe. Yeah, Joe's had a great time. Basically, he spent the entire time just comparing everything in the US to the UK.
Uh-huh.
He's like, well, in the UK, there's this. But in the US, everything. Yeah. Even regards to, you should have seen him with the Uber driver earlier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that got a bit deep.
I mean, like, it's shit here and really good there. Yeah.
I like it both.
So you like American punk bands.
I do like American punk bands.
He does.
We have another fellow Brit that's like, I listen to more American punk bands. Yeah. I mentioned like Blitz and The Exploited before and The Partisans and it's all British bands. So I guess we just kind of...
Like, I know it's like really commercial, but my favourite punk band is actually Rancid.
Oh, okay.
They're
American band trying to be an English band.
Yeah, I know, but I just love their hooks.
He thought he was in the Clash.
What about that beard now, though? He's got a serious
Tim
Armstrong, is it? Tim Armstrong?
Yeah.
That's the name, isn't it?
Okay, great. Yeah, well, so what's happening with you? Are you writing an album? What's going on?
Well, we just released an album last year, Hooray Beret, 2019. Uh-huh. That's last year. Yes, I'm actually wearing one. And it's a family tradition.
So we still going to tour for that? We'd like to start a new record. But
have you started writing, or are you still in the formulation stage?
We have some things happening in that department, but not officially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it out on Spotify and all of the usual?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go listen to it.
Listen to it.
what's happening with your solo stuff as well?
I have a bunch of new songs written for that.
Yeah. What do you solo under?
Guitar Me of One. Or Guitar Me of Oneness.
Guitar Me of Oneness.
Yes. Now, is that on Spotify and iTunes and all
that? It is,
So that's more stuff to check out, guys.
The record's called Never End the Rocket Century, which is a mashup of two Ramones record titles.
Okay.
Nice. End of the Century and Rocket to Russia. Good. But the record's very... very
atmospheric,
but it's pretty driving too.
Man After My Own Heart.
Also in the UK, we'll be playing Raising Steam.
We played last year, the first one.
Yeah, it's really good.
Cool.
Oh, good.
Really lovely.
Are you guys camping?
No. Because we're flying over, we're not going to have we can't fly with a tent and a sleeping bag.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on.
I'm trying not to bring punk rock of you.
Yeah. Well, we're planning on doing this by train. Actually, we're going to test the Brit Rail system.
Oh, you'll be fine. But have you guys ever done a camping steampunk event?
No.
We've done a camping.
I know you're not actually camping, but you. Okay. So now. I always find, so in steampunk in the UK, you've got the really nice ones where it's like Asylum, where it's like everyone's in B&Bs and blah, blah, blah. Then you've also got ones like Phoenix Alternative Festival, like Raising Steam.
We did that one too, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Like a workhouse or
something?
Yeah.
So
Those events in the steampunk community are known as the rough end of steampunk. They've completely embraced it, and now there's like you can get like stickers and things for your car that says the rough end of steampunk.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. But we went to the last year, didn't we? It was the first Raising Steam.
Yeah.
And it's a great event, and it's
where we wrote Hot Lava.
That is where we wrote Hot Lava. And it's just a nice event. Like, it's just cool.
Yeah. Everyone's really friendly.
Ian and Rose, there was super sweet.
For a splendid out. Yeah.
There was Morris Dancing bloody exhibition, wasn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Well, I think we're very lucky in the UK to be given these events. There's always so many events going on.
There's a lot of steampunk in the UK.
It's put on by really passionate people. Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's the thing that keeps it alive.
Yeah.
You know, all across the UK, wherever it is, it's passionate people, you know, and this was something that was made out of nothing. It's Raising Steam. That was the first year he'd ever done it.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what the numbers were going to be like and how many people would come, but it was about people coming together. There were stalls.
Yeah, it was a really cool event. And I think I just love the atmosphere.
I lost some socks. Yeah.
You did lose some socks.
I lost some socks. I lost some really nice socks.
Well, lucky for you, French in a Punk has French in a Punk socks.
We have that.
I maybe purchased them because I seem to lose socks quite a lot.
Actually, you know what else? We're going to be at the Brighton Fringe.
Brighton Fringe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Brighton Fringe.
Yeah. Oh, I love Brighton. Oh, come down.
Two nights.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, well, I'm so pleased to, like, be able to have a proper chat with you guys.
Totally, I know. It's always like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, thanks for your time, man.
And I'm sure we're going to have many good times ahead of drinking, debauchery and silliness.
Yes.
I mean, it's mostly us drinking by the look of it.
Yeah. I know, these guys are professional.
Yeah.
We are not.
If you had wine, I'd be drinking.
Yeah. And baguette.
And cheese.
And cheese.
All right, so this is Frenchie and the Punk, so please check them out.
Check out their last release.
And everything else in between, and
love you, bye.
I don't know where we're going, I don't know where this next part of the podcast is going to be recorded, but
love you, bye.
Bonsoir, thank you.
Bonsoir, bye. Hello, guys.
Hey,
we are back in our hotel room after Stupid Cupid. We're hungover and very tired. We managed to get late checkout. But it was an absolutely amazing show last night.
Absolutely.
Joe looks like a bag of smashed crabs.
I feel like one.
Still got his eyeliner on.
Yeah.
Got our flight at 9:30 later, but we're going to just get a bit more sleep.
I look like Robert Smith sadness.
Robert Smith sadness. So that's it from our second episode of Sin and Gin.
We had bloody loads of fun in the States.
Loads of fun.
And we love you all.
Thank you.
Answers on a postcard on how much you love us.
And if you've got any ideas for the podcast or want to just say hello, send it to sinandginpodcast@gmail.com.
Sin and gin. Talk about things that other people put in the bin. Da 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 da.